Welcome to the Pop Punk Emo Supremo Podcast.
I like how you managed to peak the levels Hell of my yeah, fucking dude. Podcast with, well, not my my recording, I should say. Well, it's our podcast.
Yeah, goddamn fucking phone.
This is what this is going to be today.
So, yeah, last week I felt like my energy was pretty low until the end of the episode.
So we pumped him with steroids before
I drank a fucking coffee before I came over. Well, actually, like 2 hours ago.
2 hours ago. And so maybe it's like now kicking in. I had a coffee today, too.
I think I just had to get out of the apartment and get moving, and then the effects of the coffee just like took over. I'm like, great day.
I had some fucking Raising Cane's. If anybody knows what, fucking Christ.
Tell all your friends that are texting you to leave you alone. We're recording, and I should be your only friend.
Right. Oh, now you wanna? Now you've turned into me.
For those of you at home who are listening, Hunter just hit himself in the face with his microphone.
It was the pop filter. Exclusively. Okay, this is just getting. And now you have sunglasses on in the basement. All right, let's actually get this rolling. This is Hunter right here. We also have a sunglassed Roper
over there. Good.
And we are going to be talking about some pop punk today. And we have an amazing fucking interview with one of like my personal favorite
Mine
musicians.
Too.
You love him just as much as me. Okay. Well, anyway, it's Alex from Rare Candy, also the bassist of Belmont.
Belmont.
So that's fucking dope. That's gonna come up a little bit later. We always like to start the show with a little bit of listener responses.
Yeah. So since we did an interview, I didn't think that we should add, or I just totally put off asking a question about Rare Candy. So yesterday I'm going to try a new thing. We're going to exclusively ask Twitter this question. So we have exclusive questions on Twitter, so therefore you have to follow us.
It's true. We don't. Yeah. I mean, I feel like, so we've been really trying to step up our social media game. If you guys haven't noticed, I've done a lot of graphic design work. Yeah. Which really just means I paid someone to do it, and then I edit it to, like, match the episodes. But that takes a lot of effort when you use GIMP. And if anyone knows what I'm talking about right now, like, GIMP is, like, Photoshop's retarded little brother.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, like, where I am right now. I literally have a tab open for Photoshop just ready to click the fucking purchase button. But I'm very poor right now.
Yeah,
so.
And all I do in this process is just upload it.
Yep. All right, let's talk about these listener responses.
I asked Twitter what new releases we should check out. GTSAAN said, MGK's new song is actually pretty interesting. We replied, Hunter said it was bad. Roper is too scared to listen to it. And I heard it this morning.
Oh, don't talk about it yet.
We'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
And then our buddy AFI931 also hit us with Black Bear dropped a new record and it's solid. And he also said it wasn't so much pop punk, but definitely more pop than hip hop with sad boy emo lyrics. So it's pretty solid. I did give it a little listen to last night, and I like Black Bear.
I think Black Bear is a great producer. I think he's got a great voice. I genuinely enjoy what he's in. I haven't really given him much of a chance.
He played in some pop punk bands too before he started producing. So he's got his roots in it, but he was one of the guys that made the switch over to hip hop and stuff. And like his album from 2 years ago with like Hot Girl Bummer.
Yeah.
That album is like slowly grown on me lately.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Me and Your Ghost just because like I wanted to learn how to play it on my bass.
Oh.
And I think I kind of figured it out. So
there you go.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you. So I was on TikTok and I saw some like Hot Girl Bummer covers with like actual drums. And I was like, oh, this song could have been great. But
I'm surprised. Well, I'm sure on the next Pop Goes punk album.
When the fuck is that ever going to happen?
Never, probably.
I know.
But I mean, you're going to have some Black Bear on there.
Got to. Black Bear is like the new thing now.
What Pop Goes punk cover do you think MGK would do?
MGK?
Yeah.
Probably one of his shitty rap songs.
No, he can't pick his own music.
Oh, he can't pick his own music. Okay. It'd definitely be a Blink-182 song. Did you see that video of him playing? It's so funny. So MGK played a cover of Do you know which one it is off the top of your head? No. Where are you?
Oh, Miss
I'm
You.
I'm so sorry. He played a cover of Miss You at,
oh, God.
At a record shop in Florida I used to go to.
I did see that, yeah.
And I, like, because, yeah, the Empty Space Boys sent it our way, yeah. I think. And we listened to it, and I was like, this is so bad. But, yeah. Like, the fact that he had the confidence to go up there knowing he's not good to sing it and was, like, completely flat. And then I heard some of the audience members were like, and the other ones were like, oh, you know, like, it was just, it's so funny that, like, what a stage appearance, like, can do for,
yeah,
for you, I guess. I don't get it. I don't get this guy.
He's fucking odd.
This podcast is just shit on MGK podcast.
It's either we worship the Wonder Years or we just take a big old shit on MGK.
I would pay money to see, like, what the Wonder Years opinions are on MGK.
What if the Wonder Years covered an MGK song?
Then it might be good for once. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I can't give him too much shit. Like, I don't think he's, like, I actually enjoyed the record a little bit. Yeah. That he released, but getting into the new song that we'll talk about is a very different story.
You want to get over to that now?
Fucking let's do it.
We share a state with this band, and it's not Slipknot. It's the band Eugene Levy. They're from Eastern Iowa, and that's like 2 hours away from us, basically. And their new single is called Waiting on You. I died for you. If you wanted me to, I've been waiting on you all night. Won't you come with me? It's all right.
Good one.
This song is catchy as fuck.
It's nice to know that we got some good fucking pop punk bands in Iowa.
I know, because, like, I think there's more of a scene in the Iowa City,
yeah,
Eastern Iowa area, because it's a college town,
mm-hmm,
and there's a lot more, like, community colleges and stuff in that area. So I think a lot of the younger audience is over there, as opposed to Des Moines, where it's more so a business culture city.
Yeah.
Where, if, I mean, that probably doesn't make sense to anybody else because they all think we live in the middle of a cornfield, but...
It's true. I had to, like,
chuck
some corn this morning.
I wake up and I leave my front yard like Kevin Costner comes out into the Field of Dreams, dude.
This is totally random, but my boss came into my office yesterday and he was like, are you a sports fan? And I'm like, no. And then he went and he was like, well, you know, like the movie Field of Dreams, right? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I know like the premise of,
yeah,
it. And he's like, well, they just imitated that baseball game or whatever.
They didn't, yeah, they didn't imitate it.
Well, they played, they, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, they like played basically in the cornfield.
Yeah. They did.
And then he was like all really excited about it. And he's just like, oh, you know, this happened and this happened and, oh, you got to check this out. And he just looked at me. He's like, you don't care at all, do you? And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I really wish I did.
Being a Cubs fan and us losing, well, they traded off like three of like some of the best players on our team, but they weren't going to like re-sign next year.
Mm-hmm.
So the first baseman, Rizzo, got traded to the Yankees. And they played at the Field of Dreams, but Rizzo didn't get a play. But it was nice to see another Chicago team beat the fucking Yankees.
Wow, this was a great topic. Anyway, so yeah. Anything you want to talk about Eugene Levy?
I like baseball. Eugene Levy's, like, they're starting to become one of my favorite bands. They also have another song called On the Rocks, and it's got, yep, Nick Thompson from Hit the Lights. These guys are, like, putting out good fucking music, and I'm excited. And they just put out a beer. I can't remember which brewery it's at. It's in Eastern Iowa.
Oh, they put out a beer.
Put out their own Eugene Levy beer, which is fucking great.
Have you had it?
No, because it's in Eastern Iowa. Oh. So maybe when I go to Chicago, I'll try to...
Yeah, you'll stop and get some.
Try and see if I can find some of that Eugene Levy beer. But check this song out, Waiting on You. It's really fucking catchy and... You guys will dig it.
It's a good one. It's a good one. I picked a song by a band I've never heard of before because this week was kind of slow for me. And that band, all right, first of all, I picked this band because it's a great fucking song. And that band is called Nominee and their song Kitchen Sink. Break into your bathroom cabinet.
We'll be right back.
Roper listened to this song, and there's like this part in the song where he like instantly said something about taking shit in your girlfriend's house or something.
I don't mean to shit like pick on the band, but like he's like open up the kitchen cabinet or
take a
and
shit
my mind
my
went straight to the bathroom and like take a shit in the toilet.
Yeah,
like,
that's what it was. Toilet.
There's a toilet in the fucking.
You kitchen. Had to be there. That's what I mean. It was just like fucking. Perfect on time. It was like it's like that's what the lyrics should have been. But I'm so sorry if Nominee actually ever listens to this, but yeah. I absolutely
great,
adore
though.
The song. Yeah. Yeah. Great fucking song. I hope it, and they're like pretty brand new. They only have less than 5,000 Spotify listeners. So well, if you're like yeah. looking to jump on a bandwagon for a band, this is a good one.
Oh, both of our picks, dude.
Yeah, actually both of them. So wanna get to the notable mentions, Roper.
Yeah. We have some bigger releases in the other notable releases are a little subsection of this. Mm-hmm. Meet Me at the Altar just put out a new EP called Model Citizen. Front to back, this EP slaps, dude.
I got to listen to a song before we started recording. It was a great song. Got some easy core in there. We talked about that last week.
They're leaning towards that hard.
And that's awesome. We need more of that.
Yeah.
I think like they could fit the mold really well.
Absolutely.
Especially like with a front woman.
Yeah.
I have never heard of an easy core band that had a front woman. I could be completely
off
the wall here, but I can't think of one.
I can't either. Their sound is just phenomenal. And
it's great.
I can't wait to hear more from them.
This will be one of the bands that pushes through.
Yeah. I mean, they were featured heavily in like all those articles that I read for our
They know how to like warp the social media game. Like they really know what they're doing in that.
Yeah, maybe we should take notes from them.
I'll hit them up.
hey, Alter people.
Keep going.
Let us take some notes from you, please. That's dumb. I'm so hyped off of caffeine right now. It's great.
Oh, well. All right, well. We can talk about Trash Boat's new record, Don't You Feel Amazing.
I didn't like any of the singles.
I hated it. I hated it. Yeah. I hated all of it. I'm so sorry to any Trash Boat fans that like actually enjoy this record, but with each release, I've become less and less interested.
Same.
And to the point where I've hit, like, the only way I'll listen to a new record by them is if, like, someone is saying, Hunter, you will enjoy this record.
Yeah.
But it's just turned into radio garbage to me.
Like I was telling you yesterday, I feel like I drop off further and further every album. And like this one was the one where I was like, oh man, I really wanted to try and like these guys. Or I mean, I do like their first record, but like,
yeah, their first record's great.
Yeah. And then after I didn't really get into the second one. And then this one, I heard most of the singles and I'm like, I don't think I'm going to give this one a try.
Yeah, no, I was listening through it on a car ride home, and I was like, this is just the worst.
This is sad.
I'd much rather listen to literally any other new releases that we've talked about.
What about
this one? MGK's new song, Paper Cuts.
Oh, boy.
Oh, so much to say. First of all, we're looking at more of a grunge vibe, Roper was saying earlier.
Hey, as long as he, like, can get hit, like, get out of the fucking pop punk realm right now and he goes and trashes another genre. Like
Nirvana is like just really
I swear
upset
to God.
Right
I swear to God. Well, Dave Grohl's making so much money from Foo Fighters and
he went to disco. Yeah. So it doesn't matter anymore anyway.
That disco album, I stand by that.
I think it's really well done. I'm just not about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a couple of parts like where at the end, you hear like this guitar, like kind of like just do this weird, like fucking all over the fretboard kind of a thing. I'm like, that's MGK's actual play.
That I was going to say, that was the moment where they realized that they ran out of ideas.
Oh, to 100%. Steal.
Like, he does this weird, like, groan in the middle of it. Like,
yeah. Yeah, they have like moments in the song where he does not have his auto tune on and it's like these backing vocals and it's just trash. It's so bad.
I just want to know, like, he's got. Travis Barker must be making like a shit ton of money.
I mean, he's literally made the same song 100 times.
Yeah, but like, who's like approving all of this?
Travis Barker.
Yeah, but who's above him?
No one. I don't know. Honestly, that's a great question.
Like, I don't see like this is gonna die out soon if this like same sound keeps.
Here's how I feel, Roper.
Not this same sound, not the fucking grunge sound.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying, if he keeps like, because like you were saying, there's a guitar part in here that sounds like the Pixies, and it's the same exact guitar riff from Where's My Mind. It's like, how are these, like, how is this even, like, getting by? You know?
I think that, like, they're just so high up that, I mean, I honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if I heard about a lawsuit over it.
There's got to be one coming up.
I bet the Pixies were, like, listen to it and they're like, literally don't care. This guy is fucking trash. Well, I don't even want to waste my time.
The Pixies hate each other, too, so they're like, why would we fight with each other?
Maybe this will bring them back together.
No. they're like... They're a 9-to-5 band where, like, each time they step on stage, they're at work and they just are pissed.
Nice.
I wish I could be mad on stage, you know?
Fair. I'm seriously at the point where if Travis Barker were to, like, hit me up and be like, hey, can I produce your record? I would say no.
Really?
Yeah.
I would say no. Yeah, because, like, he's going to do most of the work.
See, that's that problem. Like, I want to be hands-on in everything I do. I don't want him to come in and just basically make a record and then fucking auto-tune my voice on top of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, listen, I think he honestly is a good producer. I don't think about how many no names came up from out of nowhere because Travis Barker's name was attached to them.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to be that. I want to, like, fucking stand on my own merits.
Yeah, but you're a better musician than I am. You know,
if they came to you.
Yeah. If they're like, Hey,
bass
just
player,
hold this guitar, hold this guitar and move your lips like you're singing.
All of a sudden you have like $1 million in your bank account.
Yeah, well, Milli Vanilli behind you and like, I'd be like, okay.
Jesus Christ. Okay, well.
Hey, if it pays off my debt, then that's golden.
You'll have like a moral debt then.
Yeah, I'd probably lose all credibility and I'd have to quit this podcast.
All right. We always like to mention the pop punkers on Reddit because that's where we get this information.
Yes.
From. You can scroll down there and see anything, everything new releases. It's like one guy who does it all the time and he's awesome. So check that out if you would like. But Roper, we have an interview.
We do.
And I'm very excited to get into it. Are you?
I am.
Let's fucking talk to Alex.
You're like a mudslide in the way you fought at first, but now I'm driving home with the shit on my shirt. I'm rolling in the dirt and dancing in the rain. What's a good time without a couple stains? You'll never wash out. I'm washed up. You're just spotless. You got me fucked up. A foot walking home.
Rare Candy is an acoustic folk pop emo band from Chicago, Illinois, blending the beautiful sounds of an acoustic guitar with heartbreaking melodies. Rare Candy satisfies the ear of anyone who dares to listen. Rare Candy's most recent release was in 2020 with their single Far Too Sweet, but today we will be discussing his latest EP, Turnip Head. Please welcome the vocalist slash guitarist Alex.
You can't.
How we doing,
see
man?
Me, but I'm all pink in the face already.
Oh damn, dude, you're making us blush.
Don't even trip. But yeah, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're fantastic.
Doing well, man.
Yeah, good, very good. Excited about this. We've been looking forward to it for some time now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we like to start off this awesome talk about Turnip Head just with some standard questions, and then we'll jump right into the record. How's that sound?
Give it to me. I'm yours for the hour or however long.
Oh, this is fantastic. Right. This is a dream come true. Okay, so what was your introduction into the scene?
Introduction into the scene. I started off, like, the first band that I took, like, really seriously, I was a drummer in a band called Nobody Move. We were sort of in, like, the all-time low, like, Fall Out Boy kind of energy. Did, like, some, like, weekend runs, you know, like, released an EP, released a record. A few more singles after that. Shortly after that, a couple of members got like opportunities playing for like cover bands and like tribute bands. So they kind of took that route. Are currently like doing their own like musical thing, but I was kind of left in Chicago just to kind of like fend for myself. So that's kind of when I took Rare Candy a little bit more seriously. Started off just as like the songs that I brought to the table that didn't really like fit the mold. So kind of just ran with that, ended up joining another band called Belmont as a bass player.
Beautiful.
And now I'm just kind of like juggling the two of them. So it's been a blast.
Hell yeah, dude. Nice. So, yeah, we're big fans of both Rare Candy and Belmont.
Yeah.
So
hell yeah. Thank you.
Of course, yeah. Dude. Of course. We gotta support the Midwest scene.
Yeah.
It's, oh, dude, big time.
Yeah, for sure. We're from Iowa, so we have... For sure. Yeah, we have like not enough people in the scene in this state, but Chicago is just killing it lately. So.
Right.
Big fans.
So what inspired you to write music?
Inspired me to write music. I feel like I was kind of tired of just being the kid that showed up to like jam or to hang out or whatever, and would just play along to like what everybody else had come up with. My uncle had been in bands since like I could remember. Like he played at like a bar, like not right down the street from my grandma's house. My cousin was in bands. Very, very like musically inclined family, and I was definitely like a generational gap between all my cousins. They're like all in their 30s. So like when I was like 9, 10 years old, they're all in like their late teens and 20s rocking out. And I just thought it was the coolest thing in the whole world. But yeah, so kind of just took it a little bit more seriously and just kept rolling with it.
Overall, like how do you think your music career started? Like I know that you kind of mentioned that you were a drummer in your first band.
I feel like that was probably the start of my musical career. I was like involved in the writing process with them and was like calling out of work to play shows and like dropped out of school after like a semester and a half. And that's when I feel like it was like, all right, like I'm giving this a go, like for real.
Who are some of your musical influences?
Personally, my musical influences, I have been listening to like the White Stripes and Jack White since I was like a wee lad. So that's where I kind of got the kind of punk, kind of like folk, kind of blues sort of deal going on. I feel like a lot of like the writing that I do in Rare Candy is in like the open, like folky tuning. And I remember trying to learn a bunch of Mumford & Sons songs and they were like tuned that way. And I was like, that rocks.
Hell yeah.
So I gotta show Mumford & Sons some love. I'm a big fan of The Tallest Man on Earth. He's like a solo, just like by himself and his guitar type deal. Very cool. And then, dude, like back in the day, I would listen to like Mayday Parade and like All Time Low. I was like, I was a Never Shout Never kid. And then those two kind of just like met in the middle. And that's kind of where I feel like Rare Candy sits nowadays.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I could definitely hear. Especially with your vocals. Big Mayday Parade fan.
Yeah, for sure.
And then finally, what is like the origin of the name Rare Candy?
So Rare Candy initially is a Pokemon reference.
There we go. I was like, I thought it was, but I didn't know.
I was playing a show at this place called Evolution Music in Chicago, and I was like bouncing in between names. So I would play like one name as Rare Candy. I played under, I was Girl Jeans one time. I was Sunflower, but spelled like S-O-N. And I was like, wow, that's some real like pothead, like hippie shit. And I like played under a couple of different names. And then I came back and I had ran out of names. And I was like, whatever, like we'll do Rare Candy again. And at this venue, there was a magazine on like a side table that was called Rare Candy. And it was a dude with like headphones on. And I actually met one of the girls that works for the magazine out in California, and I was like, wow, that's a sign. Like, I just got to stick with this one. I was Rare Candy, and then that's where Rare Candy was, like, officially, like, oh, yeah, wait, this is it.
There's another musical group that also shares the name Rare Candy, and so whenever I'm, like, looking for you, I always come across them, and I'm like, no, it's not who I'm looking for.
I like, had to talk to them once. One of my songs popped up on their Spotify, and then one time theirs came on ours, and so, like, I've, like, hit them up on Instagram a few times, and I'm like, yo, just shot an email to fucking Spotify support or whatever. I was like, if you want to get this banged out earlier, you should bug them too. By the way, love you guys, like nothing but love.
Next, I want to like talk about the overall album breakdown of Turnip Head. So this just kind of like encompasses the whole album, and then we'll go from track to track after that.
Cool.
So where did the name Turnip Head come from?
Turnip Head is a reference to the scarecrow in Howl's Moving Castle. It's a Studio Ghibli, Hayao Miyazaki movie. I didn't come up with the name Turnip Head until much like after like the record was already done. I kind of liked how he was like the character in the movie was very like quiet and like kind of like disruptive almost, but very much just like kind-hearted. And he was like trying to help Sophie the entire time, but she was like never able to like talk to him. He was just a bouncing scarecrow. And at the end, you find out he is like this prince that had been missing from like these like two rivaling kingdoms or countries or whatever. And he's like, I'm going to go home and like stop this war. Also, I've been in love with you this whole time. And she's like, skirt, not interested. Sorry, I found my man. And I was like, damn. I was like, I feel that guy. He gave it hell and was just like, I love you. So I was like, man, Turnip Head, my guy.
Are you a big Studio Ghibli? Is it Ghibli or Ghibli? I can never remember.
I think it's Ghibli. I've only heard people call it Ghibli. Yeah. But could be proven wrong. I don't know. But I'm going with Ghibli.
Ghibli. Right. Yeah.
Huge Ghibli. Huge Ghibli fan.
I've seen what's like the number one movie?
Spirited Away.
Spirited Away is like the Loki like shook me as a kid.
Oh man, it traumatized me too.
Kind of creepy, right?
Yeah. The animation like holds up today. I think that's incredible.
Oh, absolutely. It's beautiful.
I really want to see My Neighbor Totoro. There's like a reference to Totoro in like Toy Story 4. I don't know if you've ever... Or is it 3?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it's one or the other. And I was like, what the hell is Totoro doing with all these... Well, with Woody? Yeah. It was weird.
Because Disney distributes all the Ghibli movies, or Ghibli movies.
So it's probably like Japan. A little bit of a callback reference. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
At least in the States, I feel like.
Yeah.
They probably have something different on Japan, but
I mean,
who the fuck knows?
Because that's what got me as a kid. I was at my babysitter's house, and somebody's like, "You want to watch a Disney movie?" And they put on Spirited Away, and I just was like, looking at my babysitter, like, "What the fuck am I watching?"
Right?
Sorry.
I remember my neighbors had Kiki's Delivery Service on VHS, and I was like, "This is a little girly for me," but I was like, "But it's still so cool and fun." I was mad young.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, I love it.
Yeah. There's these Pokemon VHS tapes I had. And so, like, you know, rewatch them over and over again. And they always had a Kiki's Delivery Service ad in the beginning. So love it's like it. Burned into my head as like a 25-year-old. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this information, but apparently I'm going to hold on to it forever.
Oh, you got to.
All right. Where did you record Turnip Head at?
I recorded all of Turnip Head at my friend Roy's like home studio.
Oh, nice.
His name is Roy Robley. He is based out of Hammond, Indiana. He recorded all of the stuff for my band Nobody Move. He recorded all the stuff for my friend's band called Detour North. He recorded Belmont's EP Between You and Me.
Okay. Nice.
And then he recorded both Rare Candy EPs. And then the two most recent singles. Roy's my fucking guy.
He sounds awesome. What is
everything he touches turns to gold, swear to God.
Well, I you know, just the, and we'll get into it, but just the production on these EPs is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds so good.
Absolutely.
I can't get over it, honestly. Which brings us to I might have already answered my question, but who produced Turnip Head?
Roy produced it. Like, it was literally just me and him in his basement. So like, I came in with like the melody and like the guitars pretty much ready. Kind of just like would spitball like leads and anything extra just with him after the fact. But yeah, just the two of us.
God, it's beautiful. That's impressive. Two people. You know how many producers some of these pop songs have? And then just two guys just in a home people. Studio yeah. just knocked out one yep. of the some of the best EPs I've ever heard in my amazing. Life.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have the people who these songs are about heard them?
I'm sure.
I wanted to know. I wrote that question down because I wanted to know if there was like any like negative or positive reaction towards these songs about these people or how that went about.
My old girlfriend from back in the day, was very much like, "Wow, another song." And I was like, okay, what do you, yeah, another song.
You did this to yourself.
Sorry, I'm emotional as shit. Like, I could be telling everybody that you sucked and like leaking everything out there, but you know what? I'm just going to sing my sad little songs. Just deal with it.
That's actually awesome.
Yeah.
But other than that, like long, long time ago, I feel like I've done good enough with keeping it like vague enough and like fluffing it up where it's just like, it could be anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got to keep it safe. I heard this horror story about an independent musician who got sued for, defamation based off of a song he wrote. He put like the title of like the girl's name was like the title of the song, and I'm like, dude, you're like straight up like just put giving yourself away.
It's so easy to just come up with a different name.
Yeah. You know, what's the chorus? What's the most catchiest part of the chorus? That's the song name. Come on, you know. Don't go to court.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay, so like I said earlier, we're going to break these down track by track. So we're going to start with Feeling 17.
Can you feel it getting colder? Wipe your lipstick off my face and take my jacket off your shoulder. What the fuck was I thinking? Girls like you are the same. Always pointing your fingers and never taking the blame now.
Feeling 17. I feel like Feeling 17 is a very much like a... like just coming to terms with like... I feel like I did my best, and that's all you can do sometimes. I feel like all of Turnip Head is a very much like a coming to realization kind of EP. I feel like Cream Soda was super sad, and why did you do this to me, and why wasn't I better, and this, that, and the other thing. And Turnip Head has a lot of like, it's like, it's step two. It's like a lot of growth. So I feel like Feeling 17, subtle all-time low reference. I know they have the line, stay 17, the party scene. And I was like, damn, that super resonated with me. So I feel like Feeling 17 is very much like a, I did what I could kind of thing.
So what was the writing process like? Did you have a hook going into it? Did you just kind of start with a guitar part and just kind of sing over it?
I feel like I started with the guitar part. That was one of those songs where I had it like half written when I went into the studio with Roy. And I'm like moving and shaking. I had it half written and he was like, you know, it's like, that's kind of short. And so I came back a little bit later and with like the second half. So the first half is like kind of short and quiet and like diddly and it's doing thing. And then comes in like octave up, a lot bigger, a lot louder. And very much just like weeks apart kind of thing. But yeah, that's really all. Feeling 17 isn't too complex, but it was a good time.
Was it a song that was specifically wrote to begin the EP, or did it just kind of happen to be that way?
I think it kind of happened to be that way. It definitely, when I went in, I had the order figured out and I was like, oh man, this is definitely like the kicker. It was either going to be beginning or the end. Like, I feel like having a random short song, unless it's like a full length record, sounds a little weird. But I like the fact that it was just kind of like, it had kind of like one energy the entire way. Like, it was just really like the two chord change ups. Feeling 17 is, it's a sleeper for sure.
Yeah.
I think Feeling 17 rocks.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's great, dude.
What was the recording / production process like for this song?
Super bare bones. I think it was really just, I tracked guitars one day. I came in and I did vocals and harmonies the next day. And I don't even know if Roy decided to put any like pads or like After Effects after that. But that one is definitely very, very simple.
Gotcha. Nice. Gotcha.
Yes. Sometimes you got to just like keep it 100.
Yeah.
You don't need it. You don't need much else.
So lyrically, is there anything that like you would like to touch on, or would you just like to go through the whole thing? Anything spark a memory? Like, what's your idea with there?
Somebody had told me that it sounded too much like that Avril Lavigne song.
Oh, why'd you have to go and make things so complicated?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, all right, well, I have to change it to Why'd You Up and Go? I think it's Why'd You Up and Go. Why'd You Up and Go?
Yep, you got it. Yeah. I have it all written down here. We were prepared.
Oh my God, you're doing better than I am. But Feeling 17 was cool. It was definitely like, I feel like it was kind of sad at first and then kind of jumped into like the angrier fuck you kind of thing.
Yeah, what is... when you were writing that, is that kind of how the lyrics came to be, or did you have that mindset coming in before starting to write lyrics?
I definitely had the what was me kind of starting out, and then when he was like, "Yo, you need to make it a little longer," definitely got a little spiteful.
Got a little spicy there towards the end.
Yeah, a little spicy.
Well, hell yeah, man. So, is there anything else to add on this song? Any fun facts or?
Now you've got me like overthinking. I'm like looking at the lyrics right now. I'm just like, what is fun? No, like I'm feeling good on Feeling 17.
Oh yeah. Well, let's move on to track number 2. If You See Her, Tell Her I'm Over It.
You're the kind of girl that makes me wish that I had never even met you. I miss you every day, and even though you're not around, I don't resent you. I'll write 1,000 verses just to go, 'cause you're the only one I went to. No one really knows just what it is or what it was that we've been through. I spent too many days saying it's really complicated. I know I said I'd call, but to be honest, I just got a little faded. You always said you really didn't like you, and I got intoxicated. If you just stuck around another week or two, I swear we would've made it.
Start off with this. Why did it happen to be that this song blew up over the rest of songs on this EP?
Dude, I have not a fucking clue. I honestly think it was like the second or third single. And I, if I'm being honest, I feel like it just hit the Spotify algorithm and it just like got around a little bit more. Music videos, colorful and fun. Like, we're literally just sitting on my friend's back porch, just getting fucked up. I feel like it's definitely the most like harsh, like on the whole EP. Yeah, I mean, you're the kind of girl that makes a wish that I had never even met you. That's like, dang.
Just going for it, straight for the neck.
Right, straight for the neck.
So, all right, let's get into it. What's the story? What's the big message behind this song?
I feel like this one was just like the epitome of I'm now realizing that everything that I put into like this past relationship was absolute bullshit, and I did the best that I could, and if you don't appreciate that for that, then you can go and fuck yourself.
So sassy. I love it, man.
Yeah, what the hell? Come on. And I mean, I definitely, thinking back on it now, I feel like I held a lot of aggression back when I was like 18, 19, 20 years old, however it was, like when I was feeling super duper angsty. And that being said, I feel like Cream Soda was really overly sad. And this one was a little bit like overly aggressive rather than just like telling it how it is. But that being said, I feel like the way that I write is I'm feeling a certain way, I'm going to give it hell. And then I worry about it later. Like hindsight 2020, I'm feeling good about the whole situation. But in that particular moment, I'm pissed or I'm really sad and I'm just going to go for it.
For sure. I feel like that's the best time to write lyrics is when you feel, you know, you don't want to go in with a, I've heard someone say that the best time to write lyrics is to give a traumatic time or an emotional time, like a good half a year, and then look back at it and then write. But, you know, with my own experience, I feel like I do it right away, like right in the midst of it. That's when I want to write. I'm assuming you're the same way.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah. I definitely think that this one was pretty angry and very much just coming to terms with everything and just like letting it all go.
Oh yeah.
Nice. So, what was the writing process like?
I feel like the writing process was pretty similar. There's like a mandolin part that I didn't even think about writing in there until my dad bought me a mandolin for Christmas.
I
went in and I was like, all right, well, like if we're going to do this folk thing, we're going to do this folk thing. But yeah, I feel like the writing process is pretty like streamlined across the EP. Sad. also pissed. But yeah, nothing too crazy about the song either.
Would you say the writing and the production was fairly consistent all the way through the EP then?
For Turnipad, absolutely.
Okay.
It was like the first time I had recorded in like my dude Roy's like new house, so he had like his whole basement set aside, and that was really, really cool having like rather than just like in his bedroom, just kind of like doing his thing. But it was tight. Like working with Roy has always been just super easy, and he's like he composes and he's a drummer, so he just gets it. And so when him and I like are working on songs, it's always just we get it and we know exactly what we want, and it always sounds awesome. Hindsight 2020, I should have just been like more just honest with myself, being like, yeah, you know, like I'm dragging on something that's not going anywhere, and I'm just like the one that's like, no, it's love, like it's so great and awesome. So that one is definitely the most like I feel like honest lyric with the whole song. It's just like I just spent too long saying that shit to myself.
Do you think you actually wrote 1,000 verses for this girl?
1,000.
Yeah, 1,000. Easy.
1,001.
Yeah. Step it up, my dude. Let's just say this. Is there anything else regarding this song? Any fun stories that can be told about it? Any like backlash since it may be one of the most, you know, straight to the throat songs?
Yeah, true. I didn't get any backlash on it. It definitely feels good. The first time I played it, everybody was just like screaming it right back in my face, and it just felt fucking awesome.
That's awesome.
I just feel like I always do it like live. I have to kind of like preserve myself a little bit, so I always do like the first the first chorus sometimes. The second chorus like a little bit quieter, like more behind, and then when it comes time for the third one, I'm like yelling and screaming at the top of my fucking lungs, and so awesome.
Hell yeah! Hell yeah! Well, let's jump into track number 3, Swatch Dogs and Diet Coke Heads.
Hell yeah.
I guess I'll take my time, I'll figure it out. I know you don't have much to complain about. You were the queen of the world, at least the queen of mine. You should do what I do and learn to take your time.
What? Where'd this name come from?
it's from. Have you ever seen the movie Heathers?
Uh-uh.
With Winona Ryder. I think it's like an 80s, like early 90s movie. It's sort of like Mean Girls-esque, where it's like this goody two shoes girl kind of like gets caught up in like the wrong crowd of like popular girls, and she's like writing in her diary about how like these girls suck and they're gonna be the death of me, and these fucking Swatch Dogs and Diet Coke Heads, because like they were all into like swatches, like the watch, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And like Diet Coke, because like they can't drink regular Coke, like it's too much sugar, you know.
Hell yeah, dude. Okay.
So I just thought that was an awesome reference. Like, rather than just calling somebody like snooty or mean, like we're gonna go for it. We're gonna use some imagery right now.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, like, I've never heard a title like that. No. Obviously, I haven't. I haven't watched that movie, but now I feel the need to.
You definitely gotta.
Yeah. Well, I love Mean Girls, too. So if it's Mean Girls-esque,
like,
you know.
It's like Mean Girls, but they murder people.
Oh, okay. That's double the fun.
Yeah.
What
it's
is
like
mean,
it's like Mean Girls, but they're real.
They're really mean.
Because we got some results behind
really
the
mean girls. Results.
What what's the story behind this one, my man?
I definitely think this was like it followed up the kind of theme of, if you see her, it's more like a, you know, I kind of did my thing and I'm kind of moving on. I gave it my best, and if that's not good enough for you, I'm out. I can see the problems in myself, and if you can't like take recognition for that, that's, like I said, like I gave it my best. It's very much like a coming to realize that you can just like move on, and you take responsibility what you take responsibility for, and that's it, you know?
For sure. What is, this might be just something that happened in studio, but how did the intro, like, just the line, there she is, come
into
it?
Oh, that was definitely like I like hit a good like one time, and I was like, hell yeah. And I don't think it was like actually there at the beginning, but it had to do something with a little dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. And Roy was like, that's really cool and really funny. I like that a lot. And I was like, put it at the beginning. I was like, that's kind of sexy. there was originally at the end of Try Clean Only, I made like some like nasty like noise. And he was like, that's hysterical. You should leave it. And I was like, Roy, I can't just have some nasty monkey growl at the end of the song. I was like, the there she is cute, is fun. I was like, you got to contain yourself, man.
That's for the next record. I hope he saved the...
Yeah, there we go.
He'll sneak it in there somewhere.
We would always, like... One thing that we would do in the studio is... You know how, like, when you press, like, the wrong key and it makes, like, a ding? He found out how to, like, dive into the files and, like, change the noise on his laptop. So it was, for a while. And then he would do something wrong. It would go, and he would find it and he would go,
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That was brutal.
What is, all right, so within the first verse here, it says, where'd it go? Is that my only regret is that I loved you too fast. But in the chorus, it says, do what I do and learn to take your time.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's very much like my mistake was like diving into this too quickly, and now I'm like, I've already moved past that, so like, get with the program.
Why are you not on my level right now?
There's a program, I need you to get with it.
Okay, for sure. Any more fun stories on this one at all?
I recorded a music video of that song at the Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago, and then they kicked us out. They were like, do you guys have a pass to be recording here? And we were like, no. Like, we're not bothering anybody. And they were like, we need to go to the office. And I was like, we can just leave. And they were like, nah, you guys need to go to the office. And then we still just, they like didn't follow us to like just go there. So we ended up just leaving.
Oh, really?
We just left.
I feel like you should have gone to the office and continued the music video there.
In the office? Yeah. Like, flick him off and flick all the papers in his face and run.
It's like the learn to take your time thing. It's just like you like getting the final boot out. I love it.
Damn, okay. that'd be punk as fuck.
So I have a side question now that we're on locations for music videos. So I know we're talking about Rare Candy, but for overstepping with Belmont and that was Taco Bell, right?
Yes.
Did they give you shit for going in there and recording in there too?
No, that was like a local Taco Bell. That was like a little before I was in the band, but I remember them telling the story that they would like go to that Taco Bell like on the regular. It was super close to the drummer Brian's house, and so they rolled up in there and they just fucked around for a minute.
Nice.
That's awesome. Well, there's that one band playing in a Denny's. It's like, what the fuck is up, Denny's? And I'm just like, hey, maybe that's so the Taco Bell thing. Couldn't believe it, dude.
Out of control.
Yeah.
All right, let's hit it up with track number 4. It was Fun While It Lasted.
And I wake up at 3 just to fall back asleep. And I try not to blurt out the secrets I keep from you. And do you promise not to let me get carried away? I've been looking for reasons to stay.
What's the story? I gotta know.
I feel like that was like a conglomeration of like 4 or 5 different shit show ass stories that were like going on. I feel like part of it was I was like completely over this girl, and one of my really good friends at the time was telling me to like go back and get closure and like go have a conversation, and I'm like fuck you, dude, like why would I do that, like I'm so good. And so I feel like that has more to do with like verse 2, where it's like very much just like a fuck you, like I am so good, like get out of my face. There was also a friend of mine at the time who was hoping to be like more than friends and was not really about that, and then another friend that didn't want to be more than friends when I wanted to be more than friends. So it was just a very much like the lyrics are all over the place and there's stories coming together and things that don't make sense. But yeah, that one was definitely very much just a month period of time. Just whatever came to mind all just went into that one song.
Were you writing the song in the midst of it or like after that month had ended?
I had like started as I was like super stressed and then it was in the midst of it. And then like a week or two after, but yeah, that one was very much just like a stream of consciousness is
gotcha.
I was like in the creative writing club when I was in high school, and for like 10 minutes, like right at the start, they were just like, write down on a list, just every single thing that comes to mind, just do it. And that's kind of like where I feel like this one came from, where like I started it, I had like a chorus and some loose ideas, and then brought more into it. Switch things around, kind of just very much just like stew,
just one big pot of
stew,
everything.
Just throw it all in there, stir it up.
Did you, when you were writing this, did you like, were you afraid that it wouldn't be a coherent story, or was that not even a thought in your mind? Or
yes, that was definitely crossed my mind. And then I remember that I listened back to like the party scene and Soaring Gets Right by All Time Low, and I'm like, man, some of his lyrics makes no sense whatsoever. So I'm just gonna go for it. Like, I can't dwell on this too much or else it's gonna like make me not like the song. And I feel like I am king of like sitting on something for too long and then not liking it and then not wanting to release it. And I was like, no, like this song, like front to back, is just high energy, and the little guitar solo is sick, and the chorus is huge and huge harmonies. And I was like, no, I love this song. I want it just out. Just it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Throw it out there. Yeah. When you say that you don't like a song anymore when you sit on it too long, is there a song that's out that you feel that way? Or do you just have a bunch lying around that you refuse to release?
I have songs that I've like started to write and then finally got to a point where I was like, all right, I think this is done. And then would like write a better song and then just throw that one away. I don't think I have any songs that are out now. I feel like when I recorded 2 songs with my friend Tyler, and he's in Home Safe, and they're on a split, and it's Wawasee and Sweet Potato Taco. And Wawasee is old, super old, And the Sweet Potato Taco was written like a week before. And you can very much, I feel like you can kind of tell, like, one is kind of just like hodgepodged, and then Sweet Potato Taco is very much like where I was at that moment, kind of like writing style wise. But I don't have anything out right now that I sat on for too long.
Gotcha. So it was like it was written, then you knew it was going to be on the EP, and then that's just how it came together.
I'm a liar. Far Too Sweet had been written a super long time. But it was originally on ukulele and was very much just like a little diddle idea. And then I was like, nah, wait, the song is too good to sit on. I'm gonna do it like guitar and drums and then release it.
Gotcha. All right. So I've had this question for a really long time and I'm glad that I remembered to ask, but on your EP or like just the two song split, just called Split, you have You Around and Queen of Autumn. With that being recorded, was it recorded and produced by someone different or?
Yes. It was recorded with my friend Zach, who was actually the singer guitar player of the band that I was a drummer for.
Gotcha. Okay, because just the and I love the two songs, but the difference in like Turnip Head and
for sure.
And Split. Do I want to use the word sonically? I'm not sure.
Yeah, let's do it. It's like they've definitely got like their own personality. Like,
sure.
Not only in the fact that like they're both very stripped down, but I feel like they sound like much more intimate and not as like, I don't want to say like overproduced, but like Roy is like a rock and like a pop guy. And so his stuff is very much like, nah, I want these vocals to be big and I want everything to be built around it. Whereas I feel like these two songs were very much just like, no, I want it to sound like I'm sitting in the room, like right outside your door kind of thing.
Was that your thought like going into them or is that just kind of how maybe they turned out?
I'm going to be real with you. Him and I just got like blackout drunk and just banged him out in like an afternoon. there's this old Irish pub song called All Triangle, and it's just like a 3-4-5 piece like a cappella thing, and I was like, Zach, I was like, I need you to help me record this thing. I was like, it's this old Irish pub song. I was like, and I needed to be shit faced for it, so let's give it a shot. And I was like, you can auto-tune the shit out of it, just make it sound as good as you can. I just want to hear it. And it sounded so bad. He was like, your first verse was good. Everything else was not salvageable. But yeah, I definitely wanted it to be just very much like bedroom, intimate, super low key, nothing special or crazy about it. Just again, just sounds like I'm sitting there singing to you kind of thing.
Gotcha. Okay, because that was just like going in between. Like usually when I listen to your music, I listen to it all at once. Yeah. And then I, you know, kind of go away and come back to it. It's always something I've come back to.
Thank you.
Of course. But yeah, with how different it sounded sonically, it's like there's no way that it was by the same person. So I'm glad I have some verification on that. When I say that, like Queen of Autumn was one of my favorite songs forever.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, I love that one. Let's jump in back into Turnip Head here. Track number 5. I'm really excited to talk about this one. Dry Clean Only.
But it doesn't smell like jasmine or roses or your laundry. I suppose it's probably cigarettes or Jameson. Like holiday nights I've been wasted at a 1973 Chevrolet Caprice. And somebody had better call the police, cause you're mad. You might as well.
I think that the storytelling in this song is awesome.
Yeah.
And I want to know where your head was when writing this.
Where my head was writing this. I feel like I wrote that song. I think I saw a girl that I was dating literally just like wearing a sweatshirt one time. And I was like, damn, this motherfucker's sweatshirt. And I was like working at a Starbucks at the time. And I like went in the back room and banged out like a good large majority of the song like on my lunch break, and then kind of like went back and polished it up a little bit later. Definitely very much just like a what was me. That one's probably like the sad one on the record, I think. But that one was a little bit older. I feel like that might be the first song that I wrote that came out on that EP. But yeah, just like very definitely like super into it to me. A lot of it was symbolism and like kind of dragged out. Like obviously I didn't have like a receipt like pinned on my wall from the sweater that I fucking bought. Like, that's just weird.
Well, there goes my
right?
dreams.
God damn it.
I've collected all these receipts for nothing.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, you should see his walls right now.
Yeah. What is the July 13th date? Or did it just kind of fit in
it
there?
It just rhymed. I wish. It was definitely like a summertime like fling for sure. Like, I started dating this girl probably like April, May, and then was no longer a thing come like September, October. But yeah, just cute little dove into it way too quick. Gave her a sweatshirt, never got it back. Cool sweatshirt. It was a Wonder Years sweatshirt.
Oh, it's like my favorite band. Did you see my shirt?
Yeah, I did.
Aaron West. Yeah, I was like, not sure if you're an Aaron West fan, but like, oh my God.
I went and saw the Wonder Years at the Rave. I think I saw him at the Rave, and I bought like a tour sweatshirt, and it was like black and gray, and it was really sick. Gone.
I'm just happy that this song this is maybe, if not my favorite, my second favorite song that you've written.
Thank you.
And now that I know that like my favorite band is attached to it in like the most random of ways, that just makes it even cooler. So I'm just like all giddy right now.
Love it.
Okay. I really want to break down some of these lyrics because I think it's so well written.
I feel like this is a fun one. Three long ass verses too.
Let's just start from the beginning then. So like I said earlier, is that the sweater I bought you on July 13th? I can tell by the color. I still have the receipt. It's printed on my wall, but it's not really. It stares me dead in the eye. It haunts me day and night, but I wonder why. I haven't torn it to shreds. It's a pain in my throat, but I guess so well. Oh, but it goes so well with your black wool coat. I see it in pictures. It's been worn so well, but it's awful stretched out. Is it awfully stretched out? Has it been worn by somebody else?
Yeah, that's a verse. I feel like that just comes back to like, it's definitely a lot of symbolism, just very much like keeping something on your mind for the sake of like nostalgia or like trying to remember the good times rather than just like tearing it up and throwing it away and like moving forward. That kind of comes down to like, or I guess my thought process was like, the receipt is just like that hope of, all right, well, like maybe one day kind of thing. But then it's like, dang, she's out there wearing my sweater, like living her best life. Like, I just got to get over my own ass. Like, I feel like that verse is very much just like, you just got to let it go. I'm trying to dive deeper than it actually is, but it's very much just like you just got to get over yourself.
When you say, has it been worn by somebody else, is that like you're like, oh, she's with somebody else or they're with somebody else? And okay, that's kind of what I was thinking. But when you said, I see you having the sweater in pictures or something like that, I was like, well, maybe that was just something that I like had mistaken.
I guess in like, if we're going to get like real literal, like I know that like I'm a skinny guy. And if somebody's out there wearing a sweatshirt that used to be mine and it's all like big and baggy now, that's like,
clearly
one plus one do not
doing.
Equal three.
Okay, we'll hit the chorus last here. Let's jump to the next verse. I heard he put it in the dryer. I heard it fell apart. The threads came undone, and it's not too hard to read a 3-inch tag that sticks out from the back. I don't blame you, because he always lacked the brain cells and the capacity to follow any direction. It's an atrocity, the way he treated my sweater. It came from the soul, but everything gets worn. Everything eventually gets old. I, as a songwriter myself, I'm like reading this and I'm like, if I wrote something like this, I don't think I would be more proud. I think that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Man. I'm like just like gassing you up like left and right.
No, I'm here for it. I'm so stoked that like people dig the song so much. It's very much just got like the old timey, like tell a story kind of energy to it. And that's just, that whole entire verse was just me shitting on this girl's new boyfriend.
I mean, that's like, that's not it. That this is pop punk or anything, but that's a pop punk mentality.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Well, since it kind of ends on a verse, let's jump into the chorus. I bet it doesn't smell like jasmine or roses or your laundry. I suppose it's probably cigarettes or Jameson, like all of the nights have been wasted in a 1973 Chevrolet Caprice, and somebody had better call the police, because to me, you might as well be missing or dead. So that's kind of pretty hateful.
Just a little bit. shut up. Yeah, it's a little hateful. I feel like I'm not wishing that this person is dead or whatever. It's just like, you're just dead to me. Like, skirt, get out of here.
Yeah. Shoo shoo now.
Yeah, that just comes down to like, I feel like the last, not the last, I feel like people like in relationships would give each other pieces of their clothes, and it's like, aw, like this smells like their detergent, like, or it smells like that perfume they used to use, and homegirl's got my sweater, and now it doesn't smell like me anymore, and it doesn't smell like her laundry, it smells like nasty boyfriend.
Yeah, fucking cigarettes and Jameson. When you sang that, I bet it doesn't smell like Jasmine. So, like, you fucking nailed it, you know, and it's so powerful. How many takes did it take to get to where it is now?
I feel like I kind of knew what I wanted the entire time. The first run through of the chorus is a little bit more mellow. and then the other two are definitely like louder, a little more aggressive. I definitely spent at least a day on like each song. It took me and Roy maybe 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks to finish the CP. And like 4 or 5 days of it was like just vocals.
Damn. Yeah, I just think, I mean, it sounds great from, I'm trying to think of like how to say this differently than I've already said it a million times with you, but I can't get to an understanding how Roy managed to make the vocals sound so loud. And like, that's like definitely the forefront of the song.
Hell yeah.
But the guitars are like also right there behind it. He's a fantastic,
Roy, you know, smashes
mixer. Yeah, I'm going to need that guy's number. let's end it with verse 3 here. I used to be the nicest blend of black and white, but now it's all just gray. All the tiny little colors have worn away. I hope you wore it to pieces and that it didn't just fade away. That day he threw it in the washing machine without a second thought, but the worst part is you weren't distraught. You said, shit, that sucks. Throw it in the trash. What did he do to you? You were never quite that rash. So, like, how did you come up with that? Shit, that sucks. Throw it in the trash. What did he do to you? You were never quite that rash.
I think that's just, like, big symbolism for, like, I'm holding on to all these emotions in regards to, like, the time that we had. And now, months later, like, you moved on and, like, you've changed as a person. And you're so easy to just throw away, like, the good memories and, like, the good times. And I feel like seeing somebody that you used to be like super duper close with change and become like less kind and less caring just like hits you some kind of way. And that's when you want to go write a chorus and like bitch about it, you know?
Oh, I'm sorry. There definitely was a chorus after that. I did not scroll down far.
I wasn't even paying attention. I was like, yeah, you know what? It totally does end on a verse.
I wrote it.
Yeah, I wrote it, man. But there's just so much I could say about this. I love the writing style. I think it's thank one you. Of the best songs I've heard in recent time that like tells a coherent story. Lots of symbolism in there. So you killed it. Is there anything else to add on this song? I know we really went into depth with this one.
All my friends were trying to just convince me to call it the sweater song, and I was like, no, dude, like I am not Weezer.
Exactly.
as much as I love just calling shit very, very easy songs, like Sweater Song is so much fun. Like Feeling 17 is easy. Like I also like having a little bit of mystery. Even though I don't say anything to do with dry cleaning only. Or, I mean, I guess it does. Never mind, I'm an idiot.
No. I really think you need some merch with a sweater that just says dry cleaning only on it.
Yeah, right.
Cool. I think that would be cool and I would buy 5 pairs. Yeah. So
one song left. We got Polina Brown, baby.
I wanted more than you could offer. I wanted more than you would sell me. Hey, yeah. I wanted more than just your dark lips, your long dead legs. You know that I would do whatever it takes to get you to tell me. Hey, yeah. You want me just as badly as I.
All right, so tell us about Polina Brown.
So Polina Brown, the name comes from, I was living in Lakeview in Chicago, and Polina is a stop on the Brown Line that is super close to where I was living at the time. and I wrote the guitar part at the Chicago Music or the Chicago Instru- or the Chicago Music Exchange. Chicago Instrument Exchange is online. That's on Facebook. The Chicago Music Exchange. I was playing around in the acoustic room and came up with this little like guitar diddle, and I was like, "Wow, I should like lay this down," and like recorded it on my phone. And it was the first time I'd ever used anything that I recorded on my phone, because I record all these things and they never sound as good as I imagine they sound later. So that's, we call that progress. going back to things that you recorded on your phone. But yeah, I feel like that was very much like the best way that I could imagine like wrapping up the EP is like, I'm over it. Like, I needed more. Like, I'm realizing like my self-worth, and like I'm getting this, and then like going on to like find something better.
What is your process for writing the guitars? Because there, it's not just one guitar part being recorded. You have tons of different guitars on this, correct?
Yeah.
So do you write the main rhythm part first, add some twiddles on top of it? Do you start with the twiddles?
Definitely.
Okay.
I normally come up with like a very, very vague idea of how I want it to sound. And then I always like making my guitar parts a little bit more interesting. So I have like a rhythm and like a pseudo lead with a lot of my songs. Plan around like specifically. And then I do that, and then like the lyrics and like the melody along with it. And then normally when I have like guitar one and vocal one, everything is built after that.
So do you never start writing lyrics before the guitar parts?
Sometimes. I feel like even in, as I'm like singing like lyrics or like coming up with like a melody, I'm still imagining like, all right, well, like this is going to be played here, this kind of deal. I just feel like I write best when I have my guitar like right in front of my lap, and then I like lean over and I write on my notebook.
Huh. That's so cool. I mean, so I hear it both ways. I hear people start with a guitar, or I hear they start with vocals. For me, it's very 50-50. Just kind of depends
right on
what I'm thinking. And often, like, yeah, I don't know what key I'm singing in, so I'll just sing it in the Logic, find out what notes they are, and then find out the key.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, these are the chords I can play, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
But with your guitar playing, so you would describe it very folk-oriented.
My friend used the term jangly.
Jangly. I like that.
I like jangly.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not quite twinkly, and it's not like shreddy, but it's definitely jangly.
Definitely jangly. Yeah. Yeah. That should be your new catchphrase. Or it's hard to describe jangly. Rare
gonna,
candy.
Gonna go change my Twitter bio to jangly as well.
What is do you kind of have a hard time explaining the genre of your music, or do you think it's very easy for you to distinguish it?
I feel like I kind of found the closest that I was going to get with like folk pop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like it's folky, but it's not like bluegrass folk, and it's not like old timey per se, but it's like, it's pop music. Like, I can't like claim that I am some rough and rugged, like Nashville, Texas, like country singer, but I'm definitely like, there's banjo, motherfucker.
what else would
like
you call it?
Folk pop is like as close as I think I'm gonna get.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody once said emo grass, which I thought was kind of funny.
I kind of dig that. Yeah. I always
emo grass is good.
I always said folk pop emo because lyrically it's very like emotional.
Definitely some sad boy.
Oh,
shit.
Hell yeah. And I think that's maybe why I attached. I mean, like the guitars sound beautiful. Lyrically, it's like, it just, I'm invested.
Once you hear the blend of both, it kind of just pulls you in, and like you don't want to hear anything else because it sounds so amazing.
And I can't think of another band that I would compare Rare Candy to.
No, I don't think I could either. Like,
what would you say to that?
Thank you. No. That's a hell yeah. I feel like I always just try and keep my lyrics as like, I don't want to say like almost like a conversation. Like, I don't want to be like too deep, and I don't want to be like too bare bones, but I want it to be very much like a, I want to say this, and I want you to be able to like know exactly what I'm talking about, and then be able to like interpret it for yourself.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of artists like will be too intense or too wordy, and just for the sake of like trying to sound smart. And I'm like, that's cool. Like, I'm very much down with like wanting your art to be like profound and wanting it to be like presentable like in its own right. But I think I enjoy like having fun and very much just giving you something that's like simple but like digestible.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
What is
that's sorry.
Oh no, no. I was gonna say what is your process for playing live? Do you have other guitarists that are like specifically writing parts for the album, or they just kind of come in and learn it?
As of late, I have just been by myself. Gotcha. I've had a few shows where I had like friends come in and do horns.
Hell yeah.
And I had a few shows where friends would come in and just like play like backup guitar parts. But especially nowadays where you don't want to be bringing a million people all over the place, it's just easy. It's just to keep it solo for now.
Yeah.
I feel like once I get into like my touring swing and end up being gone for more than just like a weekend or a long weekend, I definitely want to bring out somebody to play guitar and like do backup vocals. In like a perfect world, I want to play banjo live.
Ooh.
I want to play like banjo and like do my own leads and like my fun diddles. And then I want to have somebody on like the rhythm root guitar. And then I want to have somebody on bass. And then I want to have like a percussionist with like a tiny little kick drum, like a brush snare, and like a maraca.
That sounds awesome.
That'd be sick.
Yeah. I mean, would you want to play in like, I don't want to say coffee shops, but like smaller venues?
Yeah, totally.
For sure. Because I feel like that's where it would definitely shine.
I feel like it's more intimate too.
Oh, yeah. You can't beat a small show.
For sure.
You just can't beat it.
No, totally with you.
Okay. So, Paulina Brown, is there anything more that we should know about this song?
I think Pauline is pretty self-explanatory. It's very much just like you felt this way and I did not feel that way, and now you can skedaddle and I'm good. I'm chill.
Scoot, scoot. Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, skedaddle, problem child.
We had 6 beautiful songs.
Okay, so ever since I heard Cream Soda back in the day, I was always drawn to As Told by Ginger. It's probably one of my favorite songs.
Thank you.
Of all time. And so, like, whenever I'm sitting down in, like a small group setting and I'm just playing music off of YouTube, that's one of the first songs I'll show somebody. And they don't appreciate it like I do, but maybe I'm just...
You just date the wrong women.
Yeah, I do.
Or whoever
it's just
you're showing it
yeah,
to.
I don't know. They just don't get it, man. But what's the story behind that one? I'm really curious. It's got very, like... I don't want to be like, oh, it's a cute song, but it's a really fucking cute song. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Yeah.
It very much just came down to one time I was like courting this girl and I was like, yo, so would you date me if I wrote you a song? And she was like, yes. And so I literally went into like the back of my car, and because it was like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Threw it together and like sent it over to her, like recorded it on like a Rock Band microphone because I hadn't even like had any plans to go and record anything, and I sent it over and she was like, wow, this is the cutest thing I've ever seen. Like, I showed it to my all my friends and my sisters and I love it. And definitely did not date her that long, but it was cute.
yeah
there you go.
That's awesome. I can't tell you how many if I start dating somebody that isn't super into the kind of music I listen to, you are the first band I recommend them to listen to.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And it has never steered me wrong.
I'm the gateway drug.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you 100% are.
Love that. That's fucking killer.
So, as a whole, anything more that should be said about Turnip Head?
I fucking love Turnip Head. I feel like it's definitely much more mature than Cream Soda. People ask, like, what should I listen to first? And I was like, you should listen to What You Know, or Want You to Know, and then go listen to Turnip Head. And I feel like Want You to Know is very much, like, the proper next step after Turnip Head. And I want to keep doing stuff, like, in that vein. But, yeah, Turnip Head is my baby.
It's a good baby.
Yeah, I love it.
that's a nice baby you got there.
No one should ever say that to anybody else.
Right.
Unless it's this context. All right, so... We had so much fun
talking
about this. We want to give you all the time in the world to promote anything and everything you can, especially maybe, you know, tell us if there's anything on the horizons for Rare Candy.
Yeah.
I don't need much time. I have my Cream Soda and Turnip Head vinyl that is out and available for purchase. One side is Cream Soda. The other side is Turnip Head. I am playing a few gigs, not next week, but the next week after. I'll be playing at the Cubby Bear in Chicago on the 13th. I'll be playing at the Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis on the 14th, and I'll be playing at the End in Nashville on the 15th. I don't know when this is going to be coming out, and it might not be until after that, but that's cool. I will be having t-shirts and all kinds of other shit up after that little tour too, and working on a couple songs, hopefully going to drop something by like the end of the month, early September.
Oh my God. Ooh, that's exciting. Hell yeah.
That's great.
All right.
Kept it short, kept it sweet.
We love it.
Yeah.
We love it, man. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Yes. I had so much fun.
Hell yeah.
I learned so much. Now.
Thank you. Likewise.
Let's play us out.
Do it.
I want you to know I would have waited all night had I brought a change of clothes. Did you make it home all right? I won't ever know.
Any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band, if that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find a link to the form in our link tree on any and all of our social medias. Now, Roper, pay attention. This week, we have Cold Weather Kids with their song, Stolen Summer.
Oh boy, this one's a good one.
It's so fucking good. Yeah. Okay. Cold Weather Kids, based out of Los Angeles, California, began as a passion project between Adam Allison and Ryan Scotty. Finally, two names I could pronounce
there
correctly.
You go.
The two met while attending college in Chicago in the early 2010s and instantly formed a lifelong friendship. That's beautiful. That friendship would take them to Los Angeles in 2016, where Adam would begin working and recording at Revolution 9 Studios. It was at Rev 9 Recording where Adam met Eric Williams, who became the drummer after previous project dissolved. The name Cold Weather Kids was inspired by the three upbringings of the members. As all three grew up in places with cold climate, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Colorado, in 2020, the band released their debut EP songs, We Can't Finish. In 2021, their follow-up EP Quarantunes displayed their progress achieved while the music industry was essentially put on hold for all the previous years. Now, during summer of 2021, as the world slowly reopens and adapts to a post-pandemic life, the Cold Weather Kids are back.
Hell yeah.
Back, baby, with their newest single, Stolen Summer.
They can finish now.
So the story behind the song is it's about finally reaching the other side of the pandemic.
Hell yeah.
Simple and sweet. Unlike that bio, I had to take a large breath after that. Let's fucking kick it.
Let's kick it.
It's been a while since I felt like summer was on my side. I miss my friends and late night drives. I'm so over Netflix, always being stuck inside. I used to wake up not feeling ready for the day.
Excuses made up,
procrastinate and waste the whole damn day. Now when I wake up, I wonder how long I'm gonna have to stay at home. It's been
nothing, but
I need to feel the people huddled all around me as they sing the words we know. We are together, not alone.
Do you remember?
These guys.
No, Roper, stop! Roper! What'd you think of the song?
Oh, it's good.
Dude, I was incredibly excited to have this on the show. Like, I think we talked to these guys months ago.
Yeah, and they popped up on my TikTok too. Without me even realizing that it was the same band. And I'm like, God, this Cold Weather Kids band is fucking great. Lo and behold, they emailed us, and we're like, mm-hmm. Oh, it's on. And these guys give me some solid Man Overboard vibes.
Yeah, you feel that? I can see that.
They seem a little bit heavier, too.
Yeah, they're a little...
They have a more modern sound.
Yeah, let me tell you this. Mixing and mastering-wise, fucking... I think this may be the... I don't want to say it's the best one we've had
really
on here, but
well
it's
produced.
Fucking up there. Produced incredibly well. I absolutely love the bridge where they start talking about
virtual
concerts. I was like, oh, that's so fucking true. This is another awesome fucking band. Two in a row. Yeah. Not that we have like every band on here, like we've enjoyed
really
the music, but man, I just fucking love this band.
Blown away.
Dude. Absolutely blown away. So again, thank you, Cold Weather Kids. We are Cold Weather Kids, Roper.
We are
fucking Iowa.
Yeah.
We're dying in the freezing cold in the winter.
Yeah, it's the summertime now.
We just sweat a lot. Fucking, you either sweat or freeze. There's no fucking winning.
Yeah.
But Cold Weather Kids, check this song out, Stolen Summer. Such a good fucking jam.
Hell yeah. If you guys want to reach out to us at any point in your life, we're on all the social media platforms. You know, Instagram.
Why are you so boring now?
Facebook. Twitter. YouTube.
Stop.
And Spotify.
Oh, no. That was bad. Okay.
I'm doing it on purpose.
I know. Man. I hate it.
Let me fucking do my job.
You sound like one of those creepy radio guys that you listen to at 3 a.m. on your drive home from, like, some... I don't even know.
That boy ain't right.
So, if you guys haven't noticed, we've been killing it with social media lately.
Trying to.
Yeah, we're trying to. We're getting better. We have all these new graphics thanks to our wonderful graphic designer, Darby.
Yo, that's my cousin.
Darby's fucking dope.
He's the man.
I love Darby. He's killed it for it. He also works on, like, my Leaving Warren stuff. Yep. You know, I can't fucking thank him enough. I have learned how to use a new editing software, another one under my fucking... So that sucks, but also I'm happy with how we've turned out. Double check the fucking Spotify. Spotify playlist done by Roper is awesome. I listen to it myself.
I update it every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Except
or if
for
he forgets. And the one before that.
Yeah.
But no, this Sunday.
I did it the one before that.
Oh, okay. All right. But
I updated it on a Wednesday.
Okay. So it is updated weekly. That's all we'll
tell
you.
It gets updated just one random day out of the week.
Yeah, from now on Sunday, though. awesome fucking songs from our up-and-comers, from the big boys in the scene, from the medium boys in the scene, and ladies. Yeah. Ladies. Fantastic. Also, another big thank you for Alex from Rare Candy. Again, if you guys don't absolutely fall in love with this guy's sound, I'm shocked. The reason why we had this guy on the show is because, like, he is incredibly underappreciated, and
he's got such a distinct sound too. It's amazing.
If you guys know any other bands that sound similar to Rare Candy, you should fucking tell us.
Yes,
I've been searching and I can't find it.
Have you heard he's from Chicago as well? He's called Safe Bet.
I feel like that's familiar sounding.
Yeah, I know that they used to play shows together and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And he's not like that same like twangy stuff, but he's like more so acoustic bass.
For sure.
And I think you'll like
it. I'll check it out. Yeah. Thank you. I already got an answer.
See,
already.
I know everything.
So, yeah, we big thank you for listening all the way to the end.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people don't do that. But anyone who does, we love you very, very much.
We're at PPES Podcast and on the social medias. Forgot to say that.
Yeah. You know, you can find us.
Yeah.
We're fucking... Roper, play me a what's it called? Like a scoobop. A scoot-up. Skip-up-bop. Boop-boops.
Oh, a scatting?
Scatting, yeah.
A good old scat.
Give me a good old scat out.
Oh, boy.
Hurry up.
Dude, this is going to make my dad laugh his ass off. He loves it when I scat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Put me on the spot.
Most dads love when their sons scat for them.
Do you scat for your dad?
If I scatted for my dad, I think he would just leave.
Yeah.
And not dad, like the room, but my life.
I start off with a little, you know, skippity boop bop bop. And then it just gets in. I sometimes, dude, it just comes from my chest and it goes, oh, rip it. Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right, you get one more final one.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Skibbity boop bop bop.
It's so fucking stupid.
You're welcome. Purple, emo, cerebral, fire.